But Pastor Tim Hall, it's an honor and a privilege to have you here. I think you were born again around the same year as I, back in 1974. And this man has traveled the world and seen God do amazing miracles, supernatural, planted churches, birth ministries, raised people up, seen people come back from the dead. I reckon you're in for the night of your life. Why don't you stand together tonight and give this guy a huge applause? He come, bring the word of God, challenge us, and stir our faith tonight. We love you, Pastor Tim.
Can I preach down here?
You can preach wherever you like. Go where you like.
Hello, folks. If I preach down the bottom here, is that okay? Then I can attack people. That's what we need, Donna, just to be able to attack. I might move the pulpit in the middle. If you can do that for me. So take a seat, guys, and it is so good. I just straight off the airplane. I didn't even get to the hotel. I came in, cleaned up. You look pretty fresh and sharp, man. So we're matching. I found this. This is years old. And I used to wear it out in the bush and wear it when I was painting. And then all of a sudden people are wearing this stuff. And I'm going, they wear stuff all ripped up. And I thought, well, blow it. I'm going to pull it out of retirement. So this, I reckon it's 15 years old, Don. Yeah, I know. It's ancient. It's on Noah's Ark. Great to see everybody. Good to be in beautiful New Zealand. How many love New Zealand? How many think it's better than Australia?
Yeah.
Oh. How many think Australians are arrogant? How many think we're no good at rugby? How many think our cricket's finished? We're humbled. We're broken. Our cricket's gone to the dogs. Our sport's no good. But Jesus is still on the throne. Hello, Mike. How are you, sir? Looking resplendent. I've got a couple of books. I'm going to advertise them only because they're here. I've got not many of them, but I wrote a book on 43 years. This is my 43rd year, Pastor Don. You're about the same. Called Power Evangelism. And it's got a lot of pictures in it, Don. Write a book, put pictures in for the pastors. In fact, I've learned you don't even put pictures, you put a colouring book in for pastors. But that's our story of the last 40 years. I've called it The First 40. Where's my mate, Brother Piggott? Andy. I used to call him Piglet, but I don't now. He's a pastor and he's a giant in God. He's a powerful man. That's for you, my friend. And this is, how many grandparents here? Any grandparents? I wrote a book for my grandkids and it's a stupid book. I did all the drawings, I got it coloured and wrote the stories, and they're very Australian, like Barry the bike riding bull from Bairnsdale. The key is that the grandparent laughs their head off while the kids are looking at the pictures. It's an interactive book. How many grandparents here? You need to get these for your grandkids. You've got a few, Don. Would you like this young lady in the second row? It's all yours. Coming up. Can you catch? No, don't. I'm not going to do that. God bless you. Pastor Don, Julia, two of the great people, two of my great friends. We've had a lot of fun over the years. I think Don is the greatest evangelist that this country's produced, and he travels all over Australia. He's like me. He just gets on the move, and he has a passion for the same Holy Ghost that I love. And I feel, just him talking there, I think, man, I can feel the anointing on him. And same with Julia, when they're both talking, I just feel the presence of God. I think that's good. They carry the anointing. And Don's, he's got great stories of wild stuff. There's a wild streak in him. He's a daring man. And it's a privilege to be here, Pastor Don. I'm excited. And something good is going to happen in these meetings. And the theme is speak. I'm just straightening up a little here. Speak. Is that my time there, 37 and 28? That everything, or do we, that's the lot? Right, praise God. Which, that's everything. I better preach short. Oh, we get time to pray, haven't we?
make a mess of the place. I don't need that long to preach. I need 37 minutes. Don't even know that much. My sermon tonight, if you're coming up with a title, and I rarely come up with titles, but seeing I'm at a speak conference, I thought I'd better come up with a title. It's something about speaking. And I've actually been inspired getting ready for this and praying about this particular conference. And my sermon title tonight is Just Say in a Word. Just Say in a Word. And I want to talk about a man who understood what that meant, because he said it. And it's, Father, would you anoint your word very powerfully tonight, significantly. I pray that you would brood over your word and that it would be alive and loaded and sharp and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and cutting the fine line between soul and spirit, joint and marrow, even to the discerning of the thoughts of the human heart. Would you cut deep tonight? Would you stir us in Jesus' name? And everybody said, Jesus was known for his words. Right from the beginning, we read that he went into the synagogue in Luke 4, verse 36. He went into the synagogue and a man began to scream under a demon power, and Jesus cast the devil out. And the people said, what word is this? They didn't say what power is this. They said, what a word is this? For with authority he speaks, and even the devils are subject, and they come out. And they marveled at his word. The word there to be amazed, ekplesso, ek, out of your mind. They were out of their mind with the authority that he carried. His words were not just words, but they, in his own words, his words were spirit and life. And they said, what a word is this? I began to ask, what authority is this? He speaks. We have our Jewish teachers, the doctors of the law. They revered them because of their knowledge. Revered them because of their incredible understanding and depth. Well, certainly understanding of the word to some degree, not with spirit, but they were pretty thoroughly educated and they were amazed, but they said, this is different. This is not just word. When he speaks, he has authority. And they kept asking the question, where does he get this authority? What word is this? What authority is this? The temple guards came to arrest him in John chapter 7. And they came to him. It was the day of the great feast. And Jesus stood up in the midst of the great feast. And as they poured the water from the pool of Siloam, they worshiped God. There was a pause. And Jesus said, is any man thirsty, then let him come to me and drink. And out of his innermost being, as it is written, shall flow great rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit who is not yet given, for Jesus was not yet glorified. The officers of the temple said, go and arrest him. Go and arrest him. And the temple guards, who would beat people up and drag them in and do whatever they were told to do, came back empty-handed. And they said, why did you not bring him? And they said, never a man spoke like this man. No man ever spoke like him. They recognized his authority. The disciples were amazed. Jesus spoke to the wind, to a hurricane, a violent tempest blast, and said, be still. And the wind ceased and the waves went flat and there was a great calm. And the disciples said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves are subject to his word? The Pharisees understood that he carried an authority. And they asked him and they said, we recognize you've got something. From where did you get this authority? He said, the baptism of John. Was it from men or was it from God? And they knew that if they said it's from men, they'd stone them. If they said it's from God, they would have said, why didn't you listen? And they said, we don't know. Jesus said, neither will I tell you where I get my authority. There's a certain man who recognized the authority of Jesus. He was a centurion. We all know the story. The centurion was probably working for Herod,
certainly building, probably in Tiberias, and then from Tiberias, where a city was being built to the Romans. The Herodians were constantly trying to appease the Romans, the Jews, and everybody else, that they were building a temple, they were building a synagogue, rather. And it seems like he really was helping them and even putting his own money in there, and he had a servant that he loved, and the servant was critically ill. The servant was so sick that he knew the boy was going to die, the young man was going to die, and he was concerned about him. But he knew that the Roman doctors couldn't help. He knew that Jewish law couldn't help. He was not a Jew. He was not a believer. He was not a Christian. He was a Roman centurion. But he knew that this man called Jesus was carrying something that was supernaturally real. There is something supernaturally real in this place tonight. There is power here tonight for a miracle in you here tonight, if you dare to believe it. He talked to some of the leaders of the synagogue and said, could you go down on my behalf? I'm not worthy to go down there. You know, I'm a hardened centurion. You go down. And they went down and they came and they said, this man's worthy. And I think he must have followed them down and heard them saying how worthy he was. He was putting money in. He was doing this and that. And I think he stepped out of the shadows and he said to Jesus, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. But I wanted to just get a background on a centurion. So we know all this. We're all pretty familiar. This is stuff we know from Sunday school. But I just want to open up a couple of things now and just take it to another level. Who was a centurion? Who were they? Centurions were the glue of the Roman legions. They were the most significant people in the Roman legions. For 1,000 years, the Roman legions had dominated the field of battle. They had dominated the field of battle because of their pure discipline, the fact that orders coming down from the top were obeyed to such a degree that the whole legion broken up into the 10 cohorts moved in precision exactly on orders. The centurions were the key. The Roman legion, which originally numbered about 6,500 men, was broken up into 10 cohorts. Each of those cohorts were broken up into 10 centuries. A century in the first century became 80, but prior to the first century, it was about 100, which was probably why they called it a century, because that's 100. And I don't know why I'm telling you that, because you know that, but some of you may not have done maths at school, so you need to be helped with it. All okay? And so, basically, the 10 cohorts are broken up into 6 centuries, and each of those centuries are headed up. In fact, there are 59 of them because the head centurion oversees 2 in the front line. And the centurion had to be over 30 years of age. He was generally a battle-hardened man, plenty of scars. Julius Caesar claimed that his success, he said he owed much of it to his head centurion, who had been in 180 battles, had scars over his entire body, but never moved from his position, and was the most powerful force that he had in his legions. The centurion was immovable. He had to be able to read and write. He was so literate. He was one that was educated so that if an order came down, he would read it and distribute that order with 100% accuracy. He was the link that came down the line. It came down from the generals down through the tribunes, down through the chief centurion, and then to him, and then to his assistant, and then into the ranks. And it had to be carried out precisely. If an order came, it had to be obeyed to the precision. And he was the one who received the order and passed the order on. He was set in place. He was a man of incredible discipline. The discipline of a centurion was so severe, he carried a whip, a vine whip, twisted, and he moved among his troops. If they stepped out of line, he would flog them. He would have them scourged.
If one went to sleep on the job, he had the power to order that pitch be poured on them and set on fire. He could have them scourged. He was brutal. And it is said that the men feared the centurion more than the coming enemy. He always fought from the front. From the front left-hand corner, he wore a plume on his helmet that made him a target, and they had a high attrition rate, but they were known never to step out of their position. They were set in position to such a degree that the whole Roman army moved around them, set in their position of authority under the might of Rome. The Roman centurion had generally been in many battles. He was feared, he was hard, he ruled with an iron fist, and he had come into this city of Jerusalem, which was under Roman rule. They walked the streets. The centurions walked the streets. They had authority to go into any house. If there was insurrection of any sort, they could go and drag people out and have them dragged in there before the court. They ruled the streets. They walked with their men, and the Roman centurions were in total authority, operating under authority and operating with orders which they were known to carry out to the letter, and they were known to be immovable and stand absolutely, because over the years they had been proved totally faithful in being set in their position. The Roman centurion was totally loyal to Rome. Totally. For him, the emperor was God. This centurion came to Jesus. He came walking to Jesus, and he came to him, and he began his conversation with a word. And words are powerful. Words carry great weight, because the very first thing he said to him was, Lord. He used the term kurios. You who are supreme in authority. You who are the supreme one. Not the emperor. You, sir, a Jewish preacher in a conquered city, in a conquered nation, and he calls him Kurios, Lord, sovereign in authority. It's treasonable. Imagine if that word got back to those in authority above him. He is calling a Jewish preacher Kurios. Kurios, I am not worthy. He said, I'm not worthy that, sir, that you, from the conquering army, I am not worthy, sir, that you even step into the doorway of my house. I'm not worthy, sir, that you even come inside my domain. But just saying a word, just saying a word, and I know that my servant will be healed. And he went on and he said this. He said, for I too am a man set under authority. I am set. I'm set in place. I know my place. I'm set in this position in the whole of Rome. I'm a centurion. Above me is probably the head centurion, above him, the tribune, above him, whoever, the right up there to the right up ultimately to the emperor, and all of Rome backs me. And if I have an order from there, if I don't speak it, I can be killed. If I don't pass that order on, I can cause the battle to be a disaster. If I don't pass it on precisely, my men will not know where to move. I too am a man set. Set in place. And I say to this man here, go, and he'll go. I say to him, you come, and he'll come.
But, sir, you're set under an authority so powerful that I cannot even begin to contemplate what you're under. You're set in place under a power that is so mighty, that I am not worthy even to come under your roof. Sir, I don't see in that realm, but I recognize that you are listening to a voice, and when you speak, demons go. When that voice from wherever speaks to you, disease goes out of a human body. A crippled man steps out of the dust. This is why we often have the idea that we have to meet needs. We run around meeting needs, wondering why things don't always happen. Jesus said, I only do and act on that which has come down the line of authority to me. There's something about moving where the Holy Ghost says, move. I too am a man set under authority. He said, just saying a word. Jesus said, I haven't seen faith like this, not in all Israel. But Jesus was trying to teach his disciples. When he cursed the fig tree, he spoke to that fig tree and he said, no man is ever going to eat fruit of you ever again. And the disciples heard it. The next day when they came past, that fig tree that Jesus had spoken to was dead from the roots. And they marveled. They marveled at his words. They marveled at his authority. And Jesus said to them, you likewise have God faith. Because if you've got faith as a grain of mustard, you'll say the same thing to this tree and it'll happen. If you've got faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, probably pointed to the Mount of Olives, get up and go into the Sea of Galilee. And if you doubt not in your heart, but believe that what you say is going to come to pass, you will have whatsoever you say. Whosoever shall have whatsoever. What is the key to being set under authority? We need to understand that that's where we are. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. I filled you with my power. I've given you my name. And you're listening to my voice. If you listen to my voice, I'll speak to you and tell you exactly what to do. And if you act on it, nothing will be impossible. Nothing. 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 We underestimate our place in Christ. Where are we set? Where are you and I set tonight? And I may touch this later. I'll tell you where we're set. Ephesians 2 says, we have been quickened together with Christ. We have been raised together with Christ. And we are right now seated together with him. Where's he seated? The eternal throne room of glory, where every major decision concerning anything that's ever happened in the universe is made. We can say, I don't know about that. Well, Paul wrote it under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And no word from God is a matter of a man's interpretation. There it is. We're seated with him. Seated under his authority with a listening ear to move in his anointing. So when I preach like this, I start to look around to see where God's working. Start looking around to see
what God's saying to me about now. I'm beginning to say, Father, what are you saying to me? What things are you saying to me? You start tuning your spiritual ears, because right now you sort of feel like God is wanting to touch some people and do some stuff and break some stuff off some lives. And so you start listening, and as you listen, you want to get something from there, from him. Well, he's in here. And then he says, now speak it. Speak it. Speak it. And I feel there's just healing in the house right now. The power of God's here. Holy Spirit. Who's the person in the building suffering with fibromyalgia? Who is that? Who has fibromyalgia? Where's that? I don't even know what fibromyalgia is, but I think it's something to do with your muscles. Pain through your muscles. Is there someone that's got a lot of pain through your muscles? Would you give me a wave? I'm just calling what I feel. Who is that? Would you come? Anyone? Somebody else has fibromyalgia. Why don't you come? I'm conscious of people that have pain, strong pain, and maybe weakness also in your muscles. Problem with your muscles. Would you come if that's you? Don't wait. If I call something and people don't come, eventually I go, oh, forget it. I'll move away from it. And I'll just stop. So I need you to respond. Have you damaged the lower part of your back at some stage? Have you hurt your back? Do you have any? Have you hurt your back or your leg or anything with you into your leg? You have pain down one side of your leg. Yeah, has it come from your back, from something that happened to your back? But it's down into your left leg. How long has that been? Come up here. Jesus, she's having a good night, isn't she? She's just enjoying herself. We're just enjoying ourselves. Brother Puma, just step into the aisle for a moment. Yeah, step into the aisle. Lift your hands. Don't come here. Don't just lift your hands. No, just lift your hands there. Don't come up. Just right there, right there. No, back there. Fire on you. Brother Puma, he's a good lad. I do like Brother Musician. He is just drunk. I just like... How are you, Pastor Brother Mark? You going well? Come up. Yeah, it's Mark. That's Mark there. Power from heaven. Is this Jesse? Jesse Duplantis. Love the anointing of the Spirit. I don't try and force something. It's wonderful when you just let the anointing bubble. Someone say that what we do is a dog and pony show. A dog and pony show. That's how they described my ministry. A dog and pony show. I want people to receive the power of God. It's not about it making a show of it. We're just wanting to get opened up so that over these few days, we just get intoxicated. I really feel, and I could be wrong, Pastor Don, but I feel that there's some folks just got a little bit dry and they just need, and we can get used to it. And we can get that way. Yeah, I need to get home. There's a movie show on tonight. I've seen it all before. Yeah, done it all before. I just want to stay hungry. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes. Forget about anybody in the building except Jesus.
and lift your hands. Just say, Lord, soak me. I've had people say to me, Tim, what's your favorite thing about the ministry? And I'll tell you very honestly, it's not really about ministering. My favorite thing is going up to a mountain 30 kilometers from my home on my own with nobody. Just going there myself. I go to a place called Sanitarium Lake, which is probably fitting. I get out there and just soak the anointing. Late last year, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, Tim, and I just felt that way, that I'd just been going and going and going and, you know, just doing what you do. And the Lord said, go with me to the book of Revelation. And he said, I know your works, you work hard. I know your labor and I know your patience. I know I can trust you. I know you push in. I know you want the best, but I got something against you. You've lost the intimacy of your first love. And he said, return. Come and spend time with me. I took 3 months. And I just went out there 4 hours a day, five, some days seven. Just got lost in Jesus. It wasn't great financially for the ministry, I'll tell you. It's a pretty tough time. My offset account took a hammering. But I came out of it just freshly in love with him. And I think over these few days, if we can get into a place where we're so just lost in him and lost in his anointing, that the anointing gets richer and thicker and stronger, more potent at every meeting, by the end of this weekend, we're going to be in a really super place. Just spend a moment. Tell him how much you love him. And that's long enough tonight. I want to finish early. And hand back to Pastor Don. And then tomorrow's a new day, and it's a big day tomorrow. And something good is going to happen.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Soak it in, guys. Soak it in. Just as Pastor Tim finishes there, I don't want you to underestimate this first night. Man, that has been so good. I love it, eh? For just to finish off what he's saying, going back to your first love, I feel we want to close, but I want to say this before we close. I feel for some people here, the altar has crumbled. I was just sitting there, and God just said to me, for some people here, the altar's crumbled. And God wants you to rebuild the altar, eh? I was just sitting there thinking, man, let's rebuild the altar in our lives this weekend. Over this next couple of days, let's rebuild the altar. Because God wants us back to that place of first love. For some of us, not even the ashes remain. Not even the ashes from the last fire, from the last sacrifice. And I believe that God's wanting to stir our hearts. I don't want to come to a conference and just get I want to hear from God. And I believe that God just spoke to us through that just awesome visitation of his presence there. Yeah, the power of God hit you. You went down. But your life will never be the same again. Don't underestimate what happened. You might have got up from there and felt like nothing's changed. But let me tell you right now, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he'll do radical stuff in your life over the next 24 hours. Radical stuff. Stuff that you can't explain. Stuff you'll never work out in your life. I think God's tired of cold, dry rocks uttering muffled prayers to a God when we've lost our sense of the majestic God that he is. And I reckon he wants us to return to that. He is our majesty. He is our Lord. And man, he's going to change some stuff. Get ready for the next whatever it is, 72 hours, whatever it is. But let's let God touch our life. Father, I want to thank you right now for what you've done in this meeting tonight. God, we give you praise. God, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed all over this place tonight, I thank you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we don't want it to be mindless prayers or mindless words that are uttered to you, but we want words of power to flood our hearts tonight. God, bring change, renew us, bring us back to our first love. Maybe you're here tonight, and I don't know everybody here, but I'll tell you, wherever you are right now, if you're not right with God, if you know in your heart right now, man, I just need to get it right. I need to return. I need to get right with God tonight. You might have come along here, you've seen God do some amazing things. Miracles have happened. People have got healed. People still on the floor, never the same again. But maybe in your heart today, it's locked up. And I'm just going to ask you right now, friend, you need to get your heart right with God. Don, I need to get right with God. Just quickly lift your hand right now, wherever you are. Just quickly lift your hand. Don, I need to get my life right with God. Who is that right now? Just give me a wave, wherever you are, and we'll include you in a prayer in a moment, and we'll believe God for a miracle. Thank you. Thank you. You can put that hand down again. Who else is there? Quickly. I don't want to keep this one. God bless you, man. That's awesome. God bless you, man. That's awesome. You can put your hand down again. Yeah. Somebody else right now. God bless you. God bless you, man. Thank you. God bless you. God told me that this was going to be a weekend of strategic change. It starts right here. Let's all stand to our feet, shall we? We're going to go home with this. If you lifted your hand right then, or if you know you should have, because I don't want to start the first night, go and stagger into the second night, the third. Tomorrow's going to be an amazing day. We've got Pastor Tim Hall on at 10 o'clock. Going to be incredible. But if you lifted your hand right now and you know that God spoke to your heart right there, Don, I need to get my life right with God tonight. I need to get my heart repositioned. Just quickly come. Quickly come, whoever you are. Just quickly come. Leave your seat and come down here. Yeah. Give them a huge hand clap as they come. Come on. Come on. Don, my heart. I need to get my heart repositioned with God. I need to get my heart right with God tonight. Come. Can I get you to come right out in the middle here? We're going to pray. We're going to believe God for a miracle to take place right here. Jesus. Jesus. This is awesome, guys. This is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. Never forget what it's all about. It's about changed lives. It's about God renewing hearts. It's about catching something that we've lost. It's repositioning ourselves with God. Father, I thank you for those that stand on this altar today. I really believe that was a word for somebody here tonight. The altar's broken down. The altar's broken down. Your altar's just a bunch of dry, old, crummy rocks. You might have listened to every podcast going, but your altar's smashed. You might have listened to everything you can, but your heart's out of place with God tonight. And God's saying, won't you come? There's somebody else tonight. You need to get yourself here. Thoughts going through your mind. You know that they're not right. You know that God wants to renew you. Yeah, God, just let the power of God, look at that. Brand new in Jesus' name. Who else is that needs to come tonight? Just come real quick. Come real quick if you know that's you. Don, I need to reposition my heart tonight. I need to get right with God here right now. Okay, everybody stretch your hand toward those that are on the altar tonight. We're going to pray a miracle over you. We're going to pray a miracle over you. I want you to make this your confession tonight. I want you to open your mouth and confess this. Let's do this right across this house tonight and say, Jesus, we open our hearts to you tonight. We pray in Jesus' name, God, that you would return us to our first love. God, bring us back to the foot of the cross tonight, that we would understand your incredible power, your holiness, your grace, which renewed me, made me whole,
restored my mind, renewed my heart. And God, right now, we receive a miracle in Jesus' name. There it goes right now. Power of God goes right through you, right through you, right through you. Never the same again. Power of God goes right through you, never the same again. Never the same again. Brand new heart, man. Brand new heart. It's happening right there as you stand there. Brand new heart tonight. Whatever it was that was restricting you, whatever it was, I break the curse off your life right now. I just saw a curse go off your life. God just cut it off, and here comes the freedom of the Holy Ghost, right? Never the same again. Jesus, freedom. Freedom is God's word to you tonight. Freedom. Just let it go and let God, right there, right there. That's all he wants is your heart. All he wants is your heart. Come on, let's give Jesus a massive applause tonight. Massive applause.